I'll move to Vegas tomorrow if it means, you know, getting higher in this industry that I'm trying to climb in.
Yeah. Cool. No, you have to, because most people won't do that. Like, most people won't take that risk. They're too, like, in their comfort zone. They're too, like, comfortable where they're at, you know? But I'm just, I don't give a fuck.
Welcome back to the Prince Huda podcast. Prince Huda here. And today I'm joined by a very special guest. This man goes by a lot of different aliases on social. We have Pigeon Vision, two meme pages, Burn the Boats, a Massachusetts Stan. The man goes by Harry for today, and I want to welcome him to the Prince Huda podcast. Harry, how's it going?
Awesome, man. Thanks for having me. Super pumped.
I'm super pumped too, but I do want to address the elephant in the room. There is a Montreal Canadiens jacket behind you. Is that what I see?
Yeah, so I think that's like a vintage. My roommate is like, I don't think he's a Montreal Canadiens fan. I think he's just like a vintage, like a vintage jacket. I mean, vintage clothes fan, I guess. And he's got that at a thrift store, I want to say. It's like an old Canadiens jacket.
For sure. Yeah, I saw the Habs logo. I was like, you know, I'm from Toronto. This is Leafs country. So I just wanted to address the elephant in the room right off the bat.
Oh, yeah.
For sure. Well, I wanted to have you on today because you've been doing some crazy stuff on social media. I've been seeing you out everywhere, rubbing shoulders with some of the biggest names in social media. The memes have been killing it. Your content's been killing it. And I really just wanted to learn a little bit more about the man behind the scenes and how you got to where you are in the content space. So I think my first question is really what made you pick up the phone, turn on the camera, and start recording content?
Yeah, so I was in college, and my roommate at the time was like doing social media and content like that. And at the time he was like, yo, hey, like, I've always wanted to post videos and stuff. I tried when I was like younger, it didn't really work out. So he was like, yo, Harry, like, you should try. And I was like, I don't know, maybe I'm thinking about it. And then he started to like blow up, and then I started like being in his videos. And then he was like, yo, you definitely got to get on page. Cause I started like getting into like the lore, I guess. Right. And then I started just ripping my own TikToks. I started just by like doing just like literally just picking up my phone and just posting. I literally would post like 30 times a day on TikTok. Like, it was fucking wild for like months. And like my page just like was going crazy. Like, my Instagram was going nuts. Like, everything at that time was going nuts. It was probably like a really fast growth point in my like social media career, where I just was like, I was in college, the content was crazy. Like, nowadays it's a little bit more like, it's a different version of what it was. But back then it was just so unhinged. I'd be like fucking with homeless people. I was like doing all types of crazy shit on camera, and people just loved it. So that's kind of how it all took place. But yeah.
Where did the, like you said, 30 times a day, like, where did the ideas come from? Was it just wake up, pick up the phone, or like you kind of had plans of what you wanted to record?
Like, literally, like, it was, I honestly liked that era because I didn't give a fuck about like what I was posting. I just like posted. Like, I'd pick up the phone and like fuck my roommate and like take a video of it and post it. Like, there was like no thought into it whatsoever. It was literally just like me just like fucking around trying to just make content, I guess. No thought, no planning, no anything. It would just be like my day. And everyone would just be like, oh, this kid's days are crazy. But in reality, it was just like what I was doing on a normal basis, you know, at that time, at least.
Yeah, I think the first one I saw of yours was giving the fresh fish to a homeless man. And like that one went crazy too, right? That
no, was dude, like years. Literally, like I used to like film, dude, those videos were so dumb. I literally, like one day I was coming back from Whole Foods and I like got a fish. And I just like was like, oh, how funny would it be just like hand somebody a fish? So like, obviously, like I lived in like where I lived in Arizona, there was like a ton of homeless people. So I just drove by just handing out fish to fucking homeless people. And they were so confused. But some people didn't know I would like put money in the fish, but I didn't like specify that because I felt bad doing it to them. So like I would like stuff a 20 in the fish or like to make it like better. But like at the end of the homeless people were like so confused, you know, it was hilarious.
Do you ever go back to those same people and be like, hey, by the way, like we just did a couple million views on me giving
One guy in Texas that I did, it was like probably my most viral video ever. Probably hit like, I think it hit like 23 million views on Reels, which is like, that's fucking insane. That's like when you get a reel that high, like the guy was like, I went back to him and the guy was like, you made me famous. Like people were like stopping, I guess, and telling him like, well, you're the fish guy. He had no clue like what he was talking about because he doesn't have it like social media or a phone or anything. So he had no clue. He's like, you made me famous. I went back and I got him some food and stuff because I felt bad. But yeah, it was like my most viral video I've ever taken. It was like fucking, it was like near July 4th, I think. And I got the fish pre-planned. I was like, I'm going to go drive around, drove around for like an hour, found the guy. Like I pick and choose the people. I was like, all right, this guy's probably the best. Just hand him the fish. Like so viral, bro. You know, but sometimes viral isn't always good though. You know, it was viral and I got a bunch of followers, but like it didn't really translate to anything, you know? So it is what it is.
What do you mean by that? You got a bunch of followers, didn't translate to, like, what were you expecting to get out of that?
I think when you get a video that viral, people just follow you for that one video. Then like, they don't actually like engage on any other posts of that, unless you're like doing fish videos all the time.
Right.
So like, I think like what happened was like, I got a lot of followers. I got like 10,000-15,000 followers just from that one video. And then, after that, like my engagement, like kind of dropped off. Cause like, I feel like people just like, we're not fucking with like all like my other type of content, which was kind of frustrating, but is what it is.
Okay. That makes a lot of sense. Cause I feel like I'm in a similar boat where it's like a lot of like the football stuff, it's going crazy. January, February leading into Super Bowl. And now it's just like, there isn't really much to talk about every day besides like Aaron Rodgers or whatnot. So it's kind of like starting to dip a little bit.
Yeah, no, definitely. And I feel like you're like football memes and stuff. I think I originally found you from like one of your football like memes or whatever you posted. And I thought it was funny. That's how I originally found you. But yeah, like you do a really good job like making those memes, those like football memes and stuff. Those are funny.
Yeah, I appreciate that. But I feel like I'm a similar boat with you where it's like, I do a lot of memes, but at the same time, like I enjoy doing the face content the most, like kind of just diving into those fun stories. But for whatever reason, it's like if I just completely dedicated to a meme page, I'd probably be bigger. But I think like diversifying is kind of what's stagnated it a little bit. But in a way, it also helps me find the people that enjoy both forms of content.
Yeah, definitely.
For sure. Well, I mean, speaking of memes, you got two pretty successful meme pages. We have Burn the Boats and then WTW Mass. What does WTW stand for?
So it stands for What's the Word?
What's the Word?
Yeah.
And so were those prior to you ripping the 30 TikToks a day, or was that kind of a result of everything?
Those were prior. But What's the Word is one of my roommates started that one, so I just help him with that one. But he's pretty hands off with it. He lets me just do whatever I kind of want with it. And the Burns Boats page was a page that we started like early on in college, and it was originally a different name, but we switched it. Right now we're kind of like, we're transitioning to more like a news page, I think, because it's so hard to like monetize these pages. It does, like some of the pages have a crazy engagement, but you'd be surprised, like, bro, it's like you have to work really hard to like get these monetization, get brand deals and stuff. It's not easy. It's really not easy. So that's kind of what our main focus is right now, is trying to get these pages monetized, you know?
Yeah, no, I'm in the same boat with where it's trying to like find the right brands that connect with stuff. And it's funny because the memes and videos of that nature go viral. They have the most engagement and they definitely boost that following, which kind of ups your stock as a creator, just having a bigger audience. But it is tough to kind of sell those memes to brands as opposed to like me putting up a phone saying, hey, you should buy this or download this app or stuff like that. So
yeah, it's super tough. This industry is not easy.
No, for sure. I was going to say, do you find like you get more of that sort of work and brand deals with the Pigeon Vision where you're more face on camera doing types of stuff, or is it more with the memes and news and kind of inserting stuff in there?
Honestly, it depends, but recently I've been having better luck with the Pigeon Vision page just because it's like my face and stuff, but it's really hard to retain like brand deals these days because like I think that the creator economy is switching, and like back in the day, like people used, like brands used to pay like creators like tons of money to like promote their products. And then nowadays I feel like there's like a switch where like I don't think that model like works anymore for businesses. So I think they're actually paying creators like less. Like they're picky, they're very picky about who they choose for their campaigns and stuff. So I feel like that is like a lot more like the biggest difficulty nowadays with like getting brand deals and stuff. Unless you're like the fucking cream of the crop, like fucking Nelk Boys or like Alex Earl, like, you know what I mean? Like they're getting all the top deals and stuff, but like all the lower level influencers, I guess you would say, it's a lot harder, you know? So
for sure. And especially with UGC, it's like brands can pay a creator X number of dollars to do that video. But when you realize that it's just labeled under their brand, they can find some schmuck in school and give it to them who have no following, but they're really just working for the brand. So I see a lot of brands now that have their own branded creators that you know, aren't necessarily influencers and have their own following, but they kind of just appear out of nowhere. All of a sudden, this is the face of this brand, and they kind of use those as opposed to outsourcing to people like us.
Yeah, definitely.
For sure. Well, I mean, you did the meme pages, you did the 30 videos a day, and then recently, or not even recently, it's been quite a bit now with the streaming.
Yeah.
I that's something pretty cool. I mean, you've been doing some pretty cool stuff on there. Like, what made you transition from like the short form videos where it's me on camera, 10 to 15 seconds, sometimes 30 to 60, to now being live for X number of hours, just on camera, always go.
Yeah. But honestly, the biggest like inspiration for that, I don't know. Do you know who Gary Vee is at all?
Yeah, Gary Vee.
So I watch a ton of Gary Vee videos. I never met the guy, but I love his like philosophy and stuff. It's like, you should try a bunch of like new things and stuff. So I took that kind of like to my own content. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to try streaming. I never streamed before. I'm going to try streaming. Had a little bit of success with it. Nothing crazy though, to be honest. Like, I've had some good streams and stuff, but like it's all about consistency with that stuff. And I've kind of been lacking a little bit in consistency on that. I mean, it could be a lot better. It's just very difficult. Like, when you're coming up as a streamer, bro, and you're like, think about it. You're literally streaming to like 5-10 people, like maybe, like at the beginning. Like, if you're lucky, you might be even streaming to like 2 people. Like it's just so hard to like mentally get like to do that. You know what I mean? To like, you're basically just talking to yourself pretty much. And that's probably the biggest challenge I had with that. But obviously I think like collabs and stuff like that have a big play in that, and like collabs will spike your views and stuff, but that consistency of like actually doing it every day is what's going to really make the difference, you know? So yeah, that's the biggest thing. But also I really want to dabble. I'm thinking about dabbling like YouTube and stuff. Have you done YouTube at all, long form reel, or no?
Not particularly. Like, I tried like kind of similar to what you're doing, just trying different things. I did I put up the top 100 plays and just reacted to stuff like that. And I'm just kind of trying to see like what works and what doesn't. I find like I got a lot of success with like clipping it up and putting those like minute seconds of reacting to one or two plays versus the long form video. But yeah, it's definitely something I've talked about doing and put in like the journal, but it's something I'm definitely kind of, I don't want to say nervous, but just a little timid to start doing.
Yeah, it's super tough. I mean, it's not easy. Like YouTube and streaming are like, I think, are obviously the hardest forms of like content to get into, just because like TikTok is so easy. Like, you post like dumb videos and like just throw shit at the wall, see what sticks. Like YouTube, it's like so much harder to like actually go viral, get retained subscribers, stuff like that. There's just a lot of stuff that goes into that, and it's super tough. You don't know like, if you're like, you gotta be like really resilient and fucking stick with it, you know?
For sure. I've seen videos of like the guys like Speed or Kai Cenat when they started streaming, right? Yeah. They get like 5-10 views, but they're really doing it because they love doing it. So I think for me and then maybe yourself too, it's just finding that love of doing it where it's like, fuck who's watching.
Yeah.
You know, I'm doing it and I'm enjoying it. And eventually people will realize that and kind of trickle into that.
I think Speed is probably the most famous person like in the world right now, honestly.
Probably, yeah.
To be completely honest, I've seen his videos of his like tour or whatever, and just like, bro, he'll show up to like a random country in like Europe or whatever, and just like the streets will just be flooded, like fucking like just crazy. I'm like, I can't believe like his poll is wild. To see that is nuts. It's definitely inspiration, but it's crazy like the level of what you can, of what's capable, of what's possible, you know?
Yeah, with him, it's cool because, like, I've seen clips where, you know, back in the day, he's in his house and he lit fireworks in his room and almost blew himself up, right? That's the stuff that goes viral. But then the stuff that people don't see is, like, he's sitting on stream every day watching, like, soccer highlights or, you know, opening
when he
packs
first started.
FIFA. Yeah, all this stuff that it's, like, people don't realize what goes into it before you kind of make it to that next level. So it is pretty cool to see him. I would agree, though. I remember he did a stream. He was in Guatemala, and I went there last summer, and I was like, I was in the same area where he was streaming. Like, I recognized some spots, and it was like the entire village was like following him. It was insane.
Oh my God. Yeah, it's nuts. I can't imagine.
Yeah. I mean, that's like the be all end all, right? Everyone wants
to make it like that, but it's tough. It's not easy, bro. You know, think about how many people are doing it nowadays. Competition's fierce. You really got to like either do some dumbass shit or really stand out, you know?
What blows my mind is the people that do like watch alongs where it's like you're watching a game, but you're trying to convince people, hey, don't watch the game, watch me watch the game, or don't play this video game, watch me play this video game. And it blows my mind that like people are able to kind of figure out a formula to get people to, I'm not going to play FIFA on my PlayStation. I'm going to watch this guy play FIFA.
Yeah, no, I'll never, I'll never understand that. Like, I'll never watch like a hockey game with like somebody commentating it like that. You know what I mean? It's so, with that like conversations mid game, I found that so annoying. They do that a lot. They do that a lot now on TNT, I saw.
Yeah, they do like the companions, or even I think Pat McAfee and those guys, they do it for like college football. And it's just so annoying because you're trying to watch the game and they're just talking, but to whoever that audience is, people seem to love it, which doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, that makes, literally.
Well, one thing I wanted to ask you about, I've been seeing you, you know, everywhere recently, and one of the common people I always seem to see in your videos, whether it's through collabs or streams, is Bob Menery. So I wanted to kind of figure out how you guys got connected and what that relationship is like.
So I originally met Bob like in Massachusetts, like where I'm from. And he's also from Massachusetts, so I kind of like introduced myself there. And then there was a time when Bob was like, when Bob like left Nelk and like shit was hitting the fan, and like his girlfriend, he was like fighting with his girlfriend online. It was like the craziest time. It was almost like he was like pushed out of society, I guess, of that, not pushed out of society, but like rejected, just because like a lot of, because he was like crashing out online. He had posted a story and said like, I want to film a podcast, like who can help me produce it? And I was like, I'll do it. And then that day I like drove to like his house or wherever he was staying in the Cape in Massachusetts, and we filmed the podcast with him and his ex-girlfriend. It was like the most insane pod. Yeah, crazy. Like, gotta like this guy's hilarious. Like, and then after that weekend we went on like a fishing trip, and then ever since then we've just been friends from that. I've worked with him like on a bunch of things, like with this casino I just passed work with, bunch of different just collabs. When he travels through Texas or wherever we're in the same area, I'll always link up with him, which is pretty dope because his network is just crazy. Like, he knows legit everybody. Like, he's got DMs with like every famous person you can think of, you know? So he's probably one of the most connected person like I've ever met, but he's also the funniest motherfucker I ever met too, because he makes me fucking die laughing when he talks.
So like off camera, you guys are the same as it is on camera. Like, that's a real friend. That's a good bond. That's awesome.
Yeah. No, literally. It's a really funny bond. And we just went on like a road trip from like Las Vegas to Texas, and it was like 22 hours or whatever. So I was in the car with this guy for fucking 22 hours. We'd do the most insane routes. Like, I left at like 9 o'clock at night, drove through the night, got to New Mexico by like midday, and I was fucking like exhausted, haven't slept. And he's just like, oh, let's keep going. I'm like, bro, I'm fucking so tired, I haven't slept, you know what I mean? So it was just funny memories and shit like that. It's hilarious.
Yeah, were you guys at the UFC recently in Vegas? Is that what I saw?
I went to that last one with the Pierre one or whatever. Yeah. Was that the last one? Yeah, I went to that one. Fucking terrible. I'd bet on Pierre. Dumb. I'm such a dumbass. So everyone was telling me, Pierre. I'm not really a huge UFC fan, but I just like listened to my friend who's like a big UFC guy, and he was like, Pierre, bro, it's a lock. And I was like, well, if it's a fucking lock,
exactly,
I'm gonna throw some money down. But I don't even know who he was fighting. Like, if you would have told me he was fighting that fucking Russian guy with the fucked up ears, like, I would have put my money back. You know what I mean? I would never fucking bet against that dude, right? Like, but
yeah.
My friend was like, Yeah, Pierre. And then I'm like, I show up to the fight, I don't even know shit about UFC. And then I get there, and then I find out he's fighting this Russian guy with the fucked up ears. I'm like, bro, no chance. But the bet had already been placed at MGM, so I was freaking out. I knew I was gonna lose. I literally knew it. And then I watched like half the fight and left. I literally was like, this guy, I mean, not that I had to leave for a different reason, but I literally watched half the fight and left. It was fucking horrible, but yeah.
Yeah, it was a pretty boring fight. I mean, I've
very boring fight.
Well, I'm a big UFC fan. Like, I've bet against Pereira, like, okay, his run's gonna stop here. So I've lost like countless times betting against him. And this one, I was like, yeah, I mean, Ankalaev, like you said, Russian, he's got the cauliflower ears, he's just a scary motherfucker. So for me, I was like, this is the one where I finally redeem myself, and I bet against Pereira, which was cool. But
definitely,
it was a pretty boring fight. Pretty boring fight.
Definitely. Yeah, it was very boring.
What's like the scene like when you're out there at these events? Like, obviously I saw you were with the Tate brothers. Nelk was there. Dana White. Like, is it just like a free for all? Anyone can kind of hang out once you're in that circle, or
at the Red Rock? It is like it's recently. It's been like very like a ton of like influencers and stuff have been coming to Red Rock. So I think it's just naturally been like a lot of people. I used to live literally a minute from Red Rock. I would just hang out there all the time. A lot of people have heard of Red Rock from like Nelk Boy's videos, just like random, like Steve will do it stuff. Like, you know what I mean? Like, cause like they're always in Red Rock. It's a world-class casino, but, I would just hang out at Red Rock and I would meet all these big people. Like I got close with Bryce Hall. I met him a bunch. I met like a bunch of big creators. I met Dana, Steve, Tate Brothers. Obviously that one night was crazy. Just a bunch of other like smaller influencers, stuff like that. But like, it's a good place to like network and like get yourself out there. If you're ever in Vegas for UFC, definitely go to Red Rock because you will meet some big people there. You know, like Colby Covington was fucking playing blackjack next to me, like crazy shit. You know what I mean? Like these guys are just like everyone's just talking pretty nice, friendly. Like as long as you're not like trying to like annoy people and like fanboy, I guess. But it's a great experience going there for sure.
And like, what's the protocol with filming? Or you just have the camera out, you go in, or is it kind of, you got to ask people that kind of stuff?
You can't really film in casinos unless you have like special permission, but you can like film videos on your phone. Like if you ask a person, like not on the tables, like you can't just film tables unless like some people get special permission to film on the tables. You have to be like big gambling influencers, like Expos, like those guys that like play big fucking money. Like they're allowed to do whatever they want. They can take a shit on the floor. And like, it doesn't matter. Cause like when you're playing $75,000 a hand, like they'll let you do whatever you want. Like that's the protocol for that. Sure.
Well, I've seen Dana goes to play blackjack. He'll put like 250 grand on a hand, play like three hands, win and leave. Did you get to see any of that?
I've never seen him like up close playing blackjack. I've been in the same room though as him when he's like, he wasn't playing. He was just talking to everybody, but I've never seen him play like that. I've seen him play like 5,000, 10,000 hands, but like nothing crazy. But like I heard stories like how he does that, where he'll play like baccarat or he'll play like blackjack a few like 10 minutes and then leave, you know, which is pretty crazy.
The have you heard of Bustin' with the Boys, the NFL podcast?
Yeah, Bustin' with the Boys. Taylor. Yeah. What's his guy? What's that guy's name? Taylor Leon.
Taylor Lewan.
Yeah. I met that guy too. He's a nice guy.
Oh, that's sick. Yeah. Yeah, because they did a video with Dana where they went with him and they were able.
Yeah,
to
they gambled with him. Yeah.
And he just won them all. They're like,
that's because they were Dana. Yeah, crazy. Yeah. I know. I think I've seen that video when they're playing blackjack.
Yeah.
That was pretty dope.
Taylor won 3 or 4 hands and Dana's like, all right, get out of here. Like you won, just leave. And I thought that was hilarious. But has there ever been a celebrity or person you've met that like 10 or 12 year old Harry's like, holy shit, look who I'm standing in front of right now?
Honestly, like the only one I really, I try not to be like that. But the only one I've ever was that was like Andrew Tate, because I've just seen his videos for so long. Like it's almost like he was like a make believe character, and then you like saw him in front. Because bro, he was never in the U.S. Like he never even came to the U.S. Like no one's seen him in person in a long time. You know, so like when I saw him, it was crazy. Yeah, that was his first time in the U.S. in a while. Not first time ever, but it was his first time in the U.S. for a long time. You know, so it was crazy to see him in person.
Well, he was like the most famous person for a while, like Twitter, you see him everywhere, TikTok.
Yeah, I thought he was up there for like probably one of the most recognizable people like on the internet. He's probably like up there with like Speed and stuff, but not higher than Speed, I don't think.
Are these guys flanked by security? Or
yeah, they have like, he had like a fucking like full like security team, like they look like dogs. Like this guy looked like he'd fucking kill you with his bare hands if he had to. Like both his security. I think he had like 4 security guards.
Are these guys approachable, or is it you got to go through security?
Andrew was actually really nice. Like I went up to him and his security guard like instantly grabbed me by my shirt. And I was like, bro, I was just about to say what's up. And he's like, oh yeah, he's good. He's good. I was like, okay. Yeah. But yeah, it was like that type of thing.
That's cool. And are they willing like for you to film with them? Like I know you did something.
Yeah, they actually, when they're out in public like that, they were very chill. Like I thought of that Johnny Walker idea, and I was going to do something like to Tristan about it. And then I just filmed like a video, but like if I had planned it better, like I should have got like I know that Dan Bennett guy, he got like actually Johnny Walker and he gave it to him. It was funny. Like it was just a funny reel, But yeah, he thought it was funny, like the whole Johnny Walker thing. I thought that was hilarious.
Yeah, I didn't see that meme until I saw your video, and then I looked into it. I was like, oh, that's pretty funny. So you've been OG. Like,
maybe I'm just a fucking doom scroller and I just see memes all the time. But yeah, that meme comes up on my like explore page like all the time of him just like yapping.
Yeah. Well, it's part of the game almost. Like my parents always get on me. Oh, you're always on your phone or your screen time. So yeah. It's like if you live in the social space created, yeah, you have to consume to know what people are doing and that type of stuff.
Bro, my screen time is so cooked. It's like bad.
What is this?
Like probably like 10 hours a day, which is insane. What's yours?
I'm at like probably 8.5, 9. So yeah, I feel a little bit better, but not too
mine's,
much.
Mine's like up there like 9, 10 hours a day, probably. It's fucked. Like it's so bad. Like I need like touch grass. You know what I mean? It's so bad.
I feel that. But is how much if you had to divide that is like posting, creating that kind of stuff versus just like blind doom scrolling?
That's the thing. Like I find myself just like doom scrolling a lot. It's so easy. Like you get like stuck in the explore page, you just like doom scroll, and the next you know it's like hours have gone by. It's so bad, dude. A lot, probably a lot. Like I should just post and just shut off the app and just like don't look at anything else. Like sometimes I find myself just scrolling a little bit, you know.
Yeah. My rule is like if I post a video, whether it's TikTok, Instagram, or YouTube shorts, it's like for 1 hour, don't look. But then once that hour ends, I'm looking, I'm reading comments, I'm looking at what other people are saying. Just and it's really hard to just turn
it's
it
hard
off.
Not to like just like refresh. Yeah. You're just like you like refresh everything. And then once you catch a viral one, it's like a dopamine hit. It's like you're getting a fix of drugs or something. You know what I mean?
Yes. 100%. That's what I tell people is like the reason you do it is for that hit of like, oh my God, this video, 100,000, 200,000, 3 million, and you just blows your mind versus like the ones where it's like a couple thousand. You're like, oh, I don't have it anymore. I fell off. But the reality is, it's like nobody really knows when it goes up, what's going to do well, what doesn't.
Yeah, no one really knows.
When you post like memes like that have gone viral, like when you're like, let's say the fish video, for example, when you made that video and threw it up, did you know it was going to be as big as it was?
The thing is, no, because I knew it was like, I have a feeling with like, you know, when you have a feeling when you post a video, you're like, this is going to go crazy. Yeah. And it does. Like I sometimes I have a feeling like that. Like, and you can tell too, when I post an Instagram and I know it's like a really good video, like I'll refresh it and it'll like instantly have a ton of views. You know what I mean? It's just weird how Instagram like always knows that.
Yeah.
Versus like when you put out like crap, it's like Instagram like knows that it's crap and it will like suppress it. I feel like the algorithms are so smart nowadays. Like they literally know like what's a good video and what's not, you know? So, back in the day, I feel like it was like, it was a lot of like the more followers you had, the more like the more views you got. But nowadays, I think it's the opposite. It's like the followers don't even matter. It's more about like the content. If your content's like actually good, you know.
For sure, I find Instagram's algorithm is definitely more tailored towards myself. Like, I feel like for whatever reason, the videos I do on Instagram, whether it's memes or skits or like face content, they always seem to do better on Instagram than TikTok, which I don't know if there's like a difference in style of video, if there's anything like that. But I was wondering if that's something you've seen before too.
No, not as much. A little bit, but like from my algorithm, it's definitely like tailored towards me. Yeah, I mean, I feel like it's like just because I'm on there so much, maybe.
You think user time on the platform?
Yeah, I think everything is not user time. I don't think it matters like how long you're on the app. I think it matters of like how good your content is. Like,
right.
You know what I mean? Like, they don't care if you're like doom scrolling. Like, they just know you're part of their minion fucking group, I guess. People that just doom scroll all day.
Yeah, that's the funny thing with social. It's like there's so many people that don't follow you that will see your videos every day just purely off of the fact that like you watch this one for more than 5 seconds, you're going to see another one and another one and another one. And then they'll basically beat it into you till you're like, fine, I'll follow this guy or mute them. No in between.
No, literally.
Yeah. So what do you attribute like the most success to, like the virality of the meme pages and, you know, kind of the dedication of throwing up 30 videos a day? Like when you look at how far you've come in such a short period of time, what do you attribute that to?
Probably just like my consistency, I guess, even though like my consistency is like not, hasn't even been the best. Like if I had better consistency, I think it'd be a lot more further along. Like if I posted 2 to 3 times a day and I was fucking really dialed in. But like, I feel like sometimes it's so hard. Like you feel that time, like, I don't know, if, like every person who posts videos feels that like burnout, you know what I mean? When you're just like, you don't even want to fucking post anything because you feel like you're just like, you just don't feel like it at all, you know? Mm-hmm. And that happens to a lot of people, like where you just don't want to post anything. You don't want to just, just kind of like there, just doing nothing. You know what I mean? But it's like when you push through those times and you just push post no matter what. I think that's what really separates yourself. You know.
I agree. Yeah, there's times where you're sitting there and it's just like, I think a lot of people think it's just like, oh, you post a video here and there and that's your life. Or it's like, no, it's like you're always thinking of ideas, like not being able to fall asleep because you have ideas of videos you can't film till the next day.
Yeah.
Or watching a game and thinking of ways to dissect it and from a content perspective. It's just, it's not like a 9-to-5 where, hey, I'm off the clock, I don't have to think about it. It's just always on Saturdays, Sundays, holidays, every day.
Yeah.
It's just, there's no. No,
literally. Yeah, no, it's off. Crazy. Yeah, there's no days off. And I feel like there's like, if I structure my videos better, I feel like it'd be a little bit easier for me. But like my videos are so all over the place. Like that's how I like it. So like it feels like it's like an all day thing, you know?
Yeah. A lot of people say, oh, do you have like a content calendar? It's like, it's hard to really make a calendar when shit just happens on a daily basis that you don't really know what's going to happen. Like if I see a story pop up or some breaking news in the NFL, it's like, I couldn't anticipate that yesterday. So even though I post a video for the day, oh, there's another thing I got to do something about immediately. Because if you don't hit it right away, it's just going to be gone.
Yeah, no, exactly.
Totally. So I think like with what you do, it's like, I feel like your audience is kind of catered towards sports fans, but you don't really do sports centric stuff. Like, do you feel like, how did you kind of get into the space with sports? Like I've seen couple things you've done with like team stuff, but how did you kind of tap into that market without actually covering games?
Well, to be honest, like I've seen, just living in Vegas, I've seen how much money like these sports guys make, like just like not just talking about sports, but like more so about gambling and stuff. Mm-hmm. Like if you could tap into that, like sports gambling, and have like a really strong niche, strong following with that, like your shit will make a fuck ton of money. Cause I've seen some people really successful in that niche. So that's kind of like what I mean. I've always been a sports fan my whole life, but like, am I watching like NHL games every night? No. You know what I mean? Like, no. But I like still follow scores and like see who's like in the standings and stuff like that. But I'm not like sitting here watching like games all the time. You know what I mean? So like, there's definitely a fine line between that.
Yeah. I think what's tough with where I'm at, like Ontario just legalized sports gambling 2 years ago. So it's still like, there's a lot of things that like they'll push and some things that they won't, or certain things that are allowed on TikTok in these regions versus there aren't. So it's just kind of learning that as we go. That's kind of why I started. Like I started with doing picks, and then I wasn't like a shitty enough gambler to go viral or a good enough gambler to go viral. So I kind of pivoted to like sports gambling, you know, adjacent content of like reacting to things or talking about big stories. Cause ultimately a lot of these games, sports fans are going to watch, but the gamblers are going to watch too because they have money on it. So kind of taking something from those games, because now you can hit both audiences because every single person watched the game, whether they gambled or not.
Yeah, no, literally the gambling is getting so out of hand too. It's like, it's crazy. Like how many people are like gambling these days? Like back when we were young, like back our parents were like not gambling like this. So like now like you have like fucking sports and shit. Like, I mean, these apps so accessible, like you can gamble on legit anything, you know?
Yeah, is like sports gambling fully legal in Vegas, like on the phone apps and stuff like that?
Specifically, DraftKings isn't actually. I think they have a deal with some of the casinos where they're not allowed to operate. But there's some apps that you have to like drive to Arizona, like an hour to the border to like actually place bets.
Wow.
But most of the casinos have their own like online sports betting too. So I think there's like a conflict of interest. So that's why DraftKings, and in Texas, there's no gambling at all. Like you cannot gamble on, there's no gambling. Like every app is fucking banned here. And I don't think they're going to unban it anytime soon. It's just like an old Southern state. They've always been like that. Like there's no gambling. There's no casinos. There's no sports gambling. The only thing we do have is poker houses. Like, do you play poker at all or no?
Not particularly, no.
Poker is huge down here. So like obviously Texas Hold'em, like big game. So like there's like a lot of like poker houses around here that people play. But like other than that, not much gambling.
Interesting. Yeah, here it's more like sports betting because I think every app just has the green light. So every time you watch a game, every commercial break, even if you're not watching a game, you'll just be bombarded with like 365 DraftKings, FanDuel, all these guys.
You're in like Toronto, right?
Yeah, so it's just everywhere, and I think Hard Rock's launching in here in a few weeks too. It's absolutely nuts because it's all apps. Like we don't really have many casinos. Like there's one Hard Rock in Ottawa, which is like I want to say like a 5-6 hour drive from here, and then there's like a couple casinos by Niagara Falls, but none of them are sports betting casinos. They're all just like that type of stuff.
I think Expos is from Toronto. I'm pretty sure. Do you know what that is? You know what that is? Expos?
The name sounds familiar. I'm sure if I've seen a video.
He's like a big gambling influencer. He's from Toronto. I've been to Toronto one time. I went to Mississauga.
Nice. That's where I'm born.
Oh, really? Yeah. I went to Mississauga once. I was with these YouTuber guys that were from Mississauga, and we used to film with them. And I've been there once. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, Mississauga is where an elk started too. I remember.
Yeah, it's where now I've seen Kyle's house before. They
blew up locally. I remember when we were in high school, like there's one girl in our high school, nobody liked her, and they did a movie theater prank where they like pranked her boyfriend, and we're all like, oh my god, these guys are sick. And then she's like, they didn't even tell me we were filming, they made me look stupid. We're like, that's even cooler, let's go. So they blew up locally, and to see how far they've come from like doing pranks at the Good Life gym that I used to work out at, I used to shop at. Yeah, like you knew, like if you lived in Mississauga, you knew exactly where they were doing their pranks. Damn. And I think they got banned from everywhere here, and that's why they went to the States.
Dude, it's crazy because I saw Jesse over the weekend in Vegas, and he looks so different now. Like, bro, his fucking he's so like fit and he's so small and like fit. He used to be like a fat, like little small fat kid. Mm-hmm. Like now he's just like he's on a totally different like wave now. It's crazy.
Yeah, they had him and then another original guy, Lucas.
Lucas. I remember him.
Yeah. So they were like the OG Mississauga. I just remember they were pretty big. Like their pranks were going viral, but like it was just cool because they're from our hometown and we knew where they were doing stuff, which was dope. So
we were golfing with them like a few weeks ago in Vegas, and it was crazy. Like it was like Kyle, Jimmy Gamble's, like who else was there? Salim, some other girls. But like Jimmy Gamble was like had fallen off a golf cart and like cracked his head. Like craziest shit. Yeah. It's going to be in that video dropping tonight, I think.
Was it for the video or just
organic? No, it was real, bro. He was on a golf cart and they took a turn on a turn and he was like right in front of us, and the cart, it didn't flip, but he was like hanging on the side, but he's a little bit drunk probably, and he fell off and just hit his head. He had got knocked out. He had no clue where he was. It was crazy.
And did you guys stop or just keep going?
No, we thought he like almost, he could have died, bro. It was crazy. Yeah. I don't want to say he almost died, but like he was like fucking, he was like so out of it. He had no clue where he was. Damn. It was like he just got knocked out. It was crazy. Yeah, super dangerous. Yeah. Like we were on this course. We were filming that Full Send Golf episode. Mm-hmm. I think it's dropping tonight with this casino that I used to work with. So, then they ended up winning the round. It was like $100,000 or something like that. Crazy.
Let's see. Were you golfing in it or just kind of helping behind?
I was just helping with my boss at the time that was playing against them. So, yeah.
Okay, cool. So beyond like posting and content, you do other stuff as well, like producing or editing and that type of thing?
I was producing the stream for this casino that I no longer work for now, but like that was why I was in Vegas. Right. I was helping them with their streaming. I was doing I was producing the streams. I was setting things up. I was giving ideas. I was making clips, like stuff like that. And I did that for 4 months in Vegas until I just left. I left last week, so that was my last week. So now I'm back in Texas, trying to figure out what I'm doing next, I guess. So yeah,
I've always wondered. I always ask other creators this, like with opportunities, like working with that casino and other brands that you've worked with. Is that something that you get by reaching out, whether it's putting together a pitch or just cold call DMing people, or they come into you saying,
"Bro, so working like those type of jobs you will not find on like Indeed or Wipe or whatever the fuck." Mm-hmm. Like you got to like you those type of jobs, you got to like know people and like get you put yourself in situations that like right place, right time. Like for example, the way I got that job was like the guy who owned the casino was like playing at like Red Rock or whatever one night, and I was there. And he was like, damn, I wish we could stream this. And then like right place, right time, opportunity meets preparation, whatever that fucking saying is. Mm-hmm. I had all my streaming equipment with me because I had been streaming, and I was like, I can stream for you right now. So I set up the IRL stream, had it going. It was a fucking huge hit. And then the next day I flew back to Texas and I got a call from him, and he's like, hey, will you come work for me? Come move out to Vegas, blah, blah, blah. I was like, awesome. The next day I moved to Vegas full time. And then I just started full time out there in Vegas for like 4 months. I lived there doing stuff with them, which is an insane experience itself. Yeah, I got to like meet some crazy people, do some wild things, but it was awesome.
Was there any hesitation for you just saying, hey, I'm going to just move my life to Vegas?
No, like, literally none. Like I literally just picked up all my stuff and left that day. I think I was, you know, I shit my car and I just left.
And you found a place and everything quickly.
Dude, I literally just like got an Airbnb and I was paying her like week to week.
Oh, okay.
Cause the job was like super volatile. Like it was like one of those jobs where, like, you don't know if you're going to like have, you know what I mean? Just cause it's like you're on like a tryout kind of. Mm-hmm. You make the big leagues, you're on the fucking tryout, I guess.
Yeah.
So I was on like a tryout, I guess, and for months, and I thought I was good. And then I ended up not working out at the end. And then I left last week that's when I left with Bobby Dunn on that road trip to Dallas. That's where I live. I always had this house in Dallas, which I rent with my friends, but, to lean back on. But, yeah, it was a good experience though, for sure.
For sure. Yeah. I think that's like the epitome of just taking the chance, betting on yourself and just saying, you know, fuck
you have
it.
To.
I'll move to Vegas tomorrow if it means, you know, getting higher in this industry that I'm trying to climb in.
Yeah. Cool. No, you have to, because most people won't do that. Like most people won't take that risk. They're too like in their comfort zone. They're too like comfortable where they're at, you know. But I don't give a fuck. I've lived a lot of places. Like I lived in Arizona. I lived in Texas now, Vegas, New Hampshire, Massachusetts. Like I've lived in a bunch of different places. And I'm not afraid to pick up and move, you know what I mean? So yeah, my most comfortable here in Dallas probably, because I have my friends and my girlfriend and stuff, people are here, so like it definitely takes a lot for me to like get up and just leave and drop everything, you know.
What made you move from Massachusetts to Texas?
So like my friend does real estate like in Arkansas, and we wanted to like get a house somewhere where we could all just like live together and like, cause like everyone in our house is kind of like an entrepreneur, I guess you could say. Like none of us like work like normal jobs. We kind of all do like, we like my friend over here, he does like sports, like he trades sports cards, like insanely like, well, he's like really good at doing sports cards. My other friend is real estate. Like he also lives in the house. My other friend has his own, like the like guy lives here, like has his own handyman company. Another kid who I would live with, has the OnlyFans agency. Like bro, it's like crazy. Like wow. So like everyone's doing like their own shit, you know. So it's a cool environment to live in like this, especially like we're all young, we're all like grinding. Rent is like super cheap out here, so it was I don't want to say it was like a no-brainer, but I wanted to live somewhere different, you know. I'd never lived in Texas. Early 20s, like fuck it, might as well try, you know. So that's where I've been for like a year and a half.
And you met these guys here, or you guys all moved together?
No. Two of them, they're all from Massachusetts. Everyone in the house is from Massachusetts besides one person. Mm-hmm. So I've known them from before college and high school. Not as much high school, but more so like just Massachusetts in general, you know?
When you were a kid, did you always envision yourself doing something in the social media space? Or
yeah, bro. The crazy thing is like I used to make YouTube videos when I was like younger. And I just always wanted to do like content and stuff, and I'm still always on it. So I just feel like I'm just like, it feels kind of cool to be like just like following my dream, I guess, to do this. And is it easy? No, fuck no. This is probably, I don't want to say it's like the hardest job, but this job is like very difficult because you don't know if you're gonna get paid, you don't know if you're gonna, where your money's coming from, you know, wherever you're gonna eat, you know what I mean? Like it's stressful. People ask you questions, well, what are you doing with your life, blah blah blah. It's not easy, but yeah, this is just what I've always wanted to do. So I don't know. I try to make it work, right? So,
was there any pushback from like friends and family? Like, you sure you want to do this versus finding a conventional job and taking that risk versus kind of finding something more?
Yeah, I mean, my family's always been like supportive of me, so that's not really an issue. Sometimes my friends are like, oh, like maybe you should give it up and stuff, but like they're like, nah, I know, I'm not gonna, you know. So I don't care.
Yeah, I think once you break through and start seeing success and start making money from it, it seems like, why would I give up on it now and try to do something else when I'd be starting at the beginning of that versus where I am here and what?
Yeah, no, exactly. But you gotta take some risk in this life to fucking really make something of yourself. Otherwise, you'll just be normal and, you know, just let it easy.
For sure. Yeah, I think as a kid, I always wanted to make YouTube videos, but I was always afraid of like coming to school and like getting 2 views and the boys making fun of me and stuff like that. And then I finally just reached a point where I was like, you know what, fuck it. Like, I was working a brand marketing job, like a 9-to-5. And I was just like, I don't enjoy this at all. And I just started making videos more as like a joke, just kind of seeing like if I could do anything. And then fortunately, it ended up getting to a spot where I was like, I can kind of turn this into a career. And that's kind of what I've been doing so far. So
yeah, the possibilities are endless for sure.
Yeah, no, totally. I think one thing I missed to ask you earlier, we were talking about just organic moments. You mentioned Jimmy falling off the golf cart. Like, what's the craziest organic thing? Like, you've had the camera out, you've been filming, and you just came across something that's like absolutely blew your mind that you had no idea you would see filming.
I would say, like, let me think. I would say, like, when we were like, when I was with probably like any moments I'm with Bob, honestly, like the organic moments I have with that guy are just like insane. Like we just went on that road trip, like the fucking most hilarious, funny moments we have just like at this hotel. Like there's like crackheads outside. I'm fucking filming. It's like the most just funny shit, just weird funny stuff like that. I can't think of one off the top, a specific moment off the top of my head though, to be honest, but like I just have so many like funny things that just like randomly happen to me, and like I'll get it on camera, you know. Like for like one crazy one I can remember right now is when I was in college, and I was walking to a party or whatever at night, the Domino's near my house gets like robbed. And I was there like right in front with my, I literally got the entire thing on camera. It was fucking wild. The guy like smashed the window, tried to open the register. Damn. He was like, probably he's jacked. He probably wasn't like mostly trying to rob. He probably was just like jacked off drugs. But like he was just like out of his mind, racked out of his mind. Like at the end, he actually made himself a pizza, like crazy shit. You know what I mean? So like he literally tried to make himself a pizza at the end after like trying to rob the place. Crazy shit. But yeah, just like crazy stuff like that. Just like it has been happening my whole life. I feel like I just put myself in these situations, you know?
Yeah, I was going to say, I think the one that I saw was like, you were in doing the casinos, gambling in each casino, and there was that one guy that was sending that crazy shit.
To the girl. Yeah, that was
hilarious. Yeah,
but like, that was like for that, me. I'll randomly catch those moments, and they're so fucking hilarious, honestly.
So I guess, yeah, just putting yourself in those situations, like things are just going to happen organically, like stuff like that you can't even envision, right?
No, yeah, literally, just stuff like that. It's so funny.
How'd you come up with the name Pigeon Vision?
It was like a high school public private story I had. Pigeon's like a hockey chirp. And I just like vision because I just rhymed, I guess. Mm-hmm. So it was like a private story. It was like Pigeon Vision. You know what I mean?
Right.
And ever since then, I've just like thought, oh, it'd be such a cool name for like an alias of like an, like to go by like Pigeon Vision. I don't know why. I thought it was hilarious.
Yeah, I was curious. But
now people like come up to me and they're like, "Oh, Pigeon!" Like when I go home, like a lot of people from my hometown like know me and like recognize me and stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, they call me Pigeon. It's hilarious. I think it's hilarious. But
yeah, it was pretty jokes. I was funny because it is a hockey term. I wasn't sure if you got it from there. So you're a big hockey guy?
Yeah, I played hockey growing up. Played a little bit in college. I dipped my toe in college hockey. Nothing crazy. Played like 10 games, but yeah, I played hockey in college. I played a little. I played growing up, high school, blah, 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 travel, all that shit. Never was like really that good, but I guess I worked hard, so I was able to like get some opportunities, I guess, like playing. So it was good. It was fun.
Are you a Bruins fan?
Yeah, I do like the Bruins. Yeah, I don't follow them as much though, but as I used to. But I do love the Bruins for sure.
What do you think about them? Just pretty much getting rid of the whole core team of their dynasty. Yeah,
it's crazy. I actually am curious of like why they did that. Honestly, it's a little bit, I think it was a little bit extreme, but they didn't have to get rid of Marchand and shit. Like he was such a good player. You know what I mean? Like that's the Panthers are going to be a problem for sure. Like the Panthers are going to be really good. I wouldn't be surprised if they don't win again, you know?
I think so too. Yeah,
I think they're going to win again, and Marchand's going to get another cup with the Panthers. That's like my pick, definitely.
I know, as a Leafs fan, it's hard
for that. It would suck for the NHL because like when the Panthers win, it's just like I feel like the ratings are so bad. You know what I mean? Don't you think so or no?
What helped last year was Edmonton. Like the entire country of Canada is watching, and I mean, there's a couple people I know here. I won't name names that kind of gave up their Leafs fandom to try and root for the Oilers to win. But I mean, I think the biggest market at least in my opinion, would be the Toronto Maple Leafs being in the final. It's just we're so
imagine,
far from
imagine
that.
The Leafs versus Edmonton. That would have been crazy.
That would be the dream, I think, for Canada and for the league, just revenue-wise, McDavid, Matthews. But yeah, as a Leafs fan, I'm just Boston has always been the devil, always the guy that just stomps us down. And to see Marchand, who's been a key part of that, go to Florida, it's like, oh, fuck.
Dude, this year might be the year that the Leafs finally beat the Bruins. I mean, are the Bruins even in Stanley Cup? I mean, I don't think
they'll make it. I don't even think they're going to make playoffs.
Oh, because maybe they're not.
Green light, okay.
That's how much I've been following. I literally don't even know if they're going to make it. So are they really out of the playoffs?
I think there's a chance, but they've kind of pretty much thrown in the towel this season with getting rid of a lot of their guys. I think there is a chance. Like, they're still mathematically have a chance to make it, but I would really hope that they don't, just because of the thought of having to play them again. No, I appreciate a little hockey banter with anyone. So
yeah,
I mean, a rough start with the Habs jersey in the back, but
yeah,
I mean,
the Habs jersey, it's hilarious.
They might make playoffs too, which is crazy to think.
So, but do you like what's your NFL team?
I'm Patriots guy.
You're the Patriots, okay?
Yeah, my dad, he bought me like a hat when I was like 11 years old. Really? We were in Buffalo, which is pretty funny. So he could have got me a Bills hat, but he got me a Patriots hat. It was the year after they went undefeated. So I think he just kind of knew, he's like, we'll just give this kid a winner. He's a Leafs fan. He's a Raptors fan at the time. Just give him a winning team. And so I've had them.
The Patriots. Wow.
Yeah.
You know, the Patriots during that time were insane.
I know. And it seems like there's a chance of this rebuild. I mean, I really like Drake.
I saw they got Stephon Diggs is like potentially going to be.
That would be big.
Going to be signing, I guess, maybe. I don't know how that works, but.
Yeah, I think he's like they're doing a physical because he's just coming off a torn ACL. So we'll see. But I mean, who knows? Most of the people around here are Bills fans, just because to get to Buffalo from here is like an hour and a half.
Really?
So I've been to Bills games before. Like most of the Canadians, like at least
a lot of Canadians like Buffalo.
Buffalo and Detroit, because there's another border in Windsor, which is right above Michigan.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, so it's mostly Lions and Bills fans out here.
Oh, Lions and Bills fans. Oh, okay. I didn't realize that. I wonder if the NFL would ever like put a team in Canada, if that would like be economically feasible. I don't know.
I mean, I see rumors of them potentially putting a team in London. It's like, why would you put them so far and just not north of the border?
I feel like Toronto would have to be but I don't even know. How would that even do? You know what I mean? Like would that even do well, you think? I don't know. Is there a draw, do you think?
I think absolutely. They had Bills. The Bills would come to Toronto once a year for like a few years back in like the early 2010s. But the problem was the team was so bad, so it wasn't like anything people wanted to see. But if you bring the Bills team now with like Allen and Cook and all these guys, they'd easily sell out Rogers Center, which is where the Jays play for an NFL game. Because there's so many NFL fans here. I think that's what blew my mind, was that the NFL following in Canada just keeps getting bigger. And there are some Canadians in the league now, like Chase Brown, the running back on Cincy. He's Canadian. Javon Holland, I think he just got signed to the Giants. He's Canadian. So you're starting to see more NFL players come from Canada. And I think the boom in Canada is starting to grow. So I'd love to see a team here. But I mean, the relationship between our two countries right now, I don't know.
Yeah, definitely. That'd be crazy.
It would be cool. And then you have like the question of, would you have an expansion team, or would you bring like a shitter market that nobody's going to here, like a Tennessee or something?
Yeah, I think you'd have to like move a team, honestly. But yeah. I heard Tennessee is like making a new stadium.
Yeah, so they're probably not going anywhere.
Yeah,
they'll get a quarterback this year. But are you a big football guy? Like, is that your main sport?
No, I mean, I dabble like in all sports, to be honest. But like, I don't follow any like sport like religiously, though. You know what I mean? I kind of just follow here and there, you know. Yeah. But I'm not like following like religiously.
Well, I guess like moving around a lot, you kind of see a bunch of different teams. Have you been to any crazy games like in Dallas or
Vegas? I've been to the Super Bowl once. That was in LA. I like snuck in. It was crazy.
Wait, what is that story?
I ran past. So like they have like security gates, and it was in LA. And I went to Waste Management the day before in Scottsdale. This was like when I lived in Arizona. And I had a sick weekend at Waste Management. I had watched, I was on the 16th hole tee box when Sam Ryder hit the hole in one. It was like the most insane fucking,
I don't know if there's
been a hole in one since. It was fucking insane. Like people went ballistic. I think there might've been a hole in one this year. I have no idea, but it was insane. And then the next day we drove to LA. And I showed up for the Super Bowl. Security was tight. I'm like really good at sneaking in places. And I was able to legit sneak in, run through the security. And I just ran into a crowd. They never caught me. And I just fucking stayed in the whole game. It was unreal. I just
so nope, nobody chased you. Like you just
well, they did, right but now. They but there was so that there were so many people there. I just disappeared in the crowd. You know what I mean?
Did you find a seat or you just
acted? I just kind of walked around the whole time.
That's sick.
Yeah, that was when the Bengals played the Rams. Remember?
Well, yeah, that was the year where it was like Dr. Dre, Snoop.
Yeah, that was a fucking sick year. It was awesome.
And did you go by yourself or you with other
people? Yeah, I went by myself. And my friend tried. He didn't get in. And I remember the Rams because it was L.A. It was in L.A. So like the city went nuts that night.
Right.
It's crazy. Like somebody threw like razors on the street and my car tire popped, I remember. And I had to like change my, it was so funny. Like somebody threw like fucking box of razors on the street and fucked up my car.
Sounds like Philadelphia.
No, L.A.
Well, it sounds like I'm saying like Philly did always like, the crazy fans.
Yeah. Philadelphia was crazy. I heard, remember that kid died or something from like climbing that pool?
Yeah. And it's just like, that was because they won too. It's like, imagine if they lost, it would have been worse or would it be the same? I don't even know.
I don't know, but I just feel like they're fucking, they're ridiculous. Boston's a little bit like the same, honestly. Boston get crazy. Like their St. Paddy's Day parade was nuts. Like shit like that, like Boston will go nuts.
Yeah, but you guys have championship parades pretty regularly, right?
Yeah, Celtics, I mean, we just had the Celtics. Probably again this year, honestly. Another Celtics one coming.
Yeah, probably. I mean, I have a couple of buddies who are like LeBron fans, so they like the Lakers now. But they like Cleveland, then they like the Miami, then they like Cleveland again. Now they like the Lakers.
Yeah, we'll see. It's going to be a good finals, I think. They'll be good playoffs this year, I think.
For sure. Yeah, is there I'm trying to think, because I guess Dallas, there hasn't really been – many championships, right?
The Dallas, Texas we had the World Series, Texas Rangers won. I think the Mavs were in the finals last year. I mean, that was it, but it was a lousy performance, but they were in the finals.
Yeah. Yeah. The only one we had, like in my lifetime, was the Raptors when they won in 2019. And there was
Raptors. Yeah, yeah. I remember that.
5 million or so there. And then
at the parade.
At the parade, there was like a shooting too.
Dude, imagine if there was a Maple Leafs parade. That would be nuts.
Oh, I think like I've talked about that with friends. That would be the biggest parade potentially ever in North American sports. Like just the amount of people that have
waited
their whole lives to see it. And then the amount of fans they have outside of Canada that would come in. It's just, it's hard to
find. I was thinking about that too. I was like, oh man, that would be crazy. I remember the Panthers parade looked pretty lousy.
Yeah. No, I remember I did a video about that.
It was like in a retirement. It was like a retirement home. It looked like it was fucking just like old people like standing in the, it was like hilarious.
Yeah, no, I had people chirping me. They're like, oh, you're just mad because you'll never have a parade. I'm like, yeah, but if I did have a parade, I'd be embarrassed to put this out. Like, it just looked terrible.
Yeah, it did look terrible.
Yeah. No, I think the Leafs, the Blue Jays won two World Series in, like, the 90s, 92, 93, but that was just before.
That was it.
I saw a video on YouTube the other day. It was footage from the Leafs parade in 1967.
No way.
It looked like a time capsule. It was crazy. It was like they're going through downtown.
Really?
The same landmarks that are here. And it's like it's in black and white. I can send it to you. It's just, it trips me out.
Wow. I got to look that up. That's crazy. Yeah.
They're at City Hall. It's the same as what the Raptors did. And it's just like it feels like a movie because it's in black and white. It's from so long ago. Like nobody will even be. I'm sure people that were alive were there, but they're still really old now. So it just blew my mind to see that.
Yeah. Damn. Yeah.
Maybe one day. Yeah. Well, just to wrap here, I got two more questions for you. I think we talked a little bit about this, but just to kind of get a more holistic answer, like what is the biggest sacrifice you think you've made in kind of becoming a full-time content creator and just committing your life to this?
I mean, sacrifice definitely like staying outside the norm, like probably like, You're risking like all this like judgment and judgmental people from the outside in, but you just kind of have to like look at it like, this is what I want to do. Don't worry about what everyone else is doing. Like worry about yourself, stay in your own lane, stuff like that. But the biggest sacrifice, I mean, I don't know if there's been like that massive of a sacrifice other than like me trying new things, like going to Vegas, stuff like that. But I would say just staying like humble, I guess, and just really just focusing on just getting better and make the best content possible for sure.
Totally. And I think like what you said about not being afraid to just move on a dime and just being so quick with certain things, I think that's really helped attribute to your success as well.
Yeah, definitely.
And then the last one, if you're looking in the crystal ball, what does the next year, 5 year, 10 year plan look like for you in the content space?
I really want to get into YouTube. I want to start doing more YouTube vlogs. I want to show like more of my personality like that way. I think that will be, I have a future in that possibly in streaming, but I think I think I have a more of a chance of YouTube, honestly. So I'm gonna give that a go between the next 6 to 8 months, see how that goes. And we'll see what happens from there. You know, you never know what's gonna happen a year from to now, and a lot can change in a year, you know. So I'm just hoping that it'll be some positive vibes, definitely from like a
Absolutely.
year or two from now. So
Absolutely. And I think it was around a year ago that we first connected, and I
yeah, I
remember
think so, yeah.
you
I
gave me some
remember.
really good advice about kind of how to like lock into social, and just
Yeah.
gave me some really positive words coming from an account much bigger than me, telling me that
Definitely.
you like what you're like what I'm doing and kind of continue. That really meant a lot. So I just wanted to bring
Yeah.
that up, and I really appreciate that, Harry.
I appreciate it. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate you taking the time to come
Yeah,
on today.
it was
Just let the
dope.
people know where they can find you.
You just follow me at Pigeon Vision on Instagram. I'm on there. PigeonVizion.
Same with Twitch.
Yep. I mean, Kick, same thing. Yeah,
Or
same
Twitch.
thing. Awesome.
Very cool. Well, man,
Yep.
I appreciate you taking the time, and thanks to everyone for watching. Make sure to follow me as well at the Prince Huda on TikTok and Instagram. And appreciate you guys all
Yep.
tuning in. Hopefully, you can take something from Harry's story today about how to become better in the content space and some of the things it takes to go into it. Really appreciate you guys checking this out. Subscribe for new episodes. We'll see you in the future.
All right, we'll see ya. Thank you.
Peace.